Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to school to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
What's that hmm for?
I will tell you in a minute.
Okay.
All right. Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Rosedahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, making today make sense on a Friday afternoon.
Yes, Friday. And I'm Kimberly Adams, and it is Happy Hour Friday, also known as Economics on Tap, which is a very beer-specific thing. Well, no, I guess cider can also be on tap. And in some places, wine and sake. Anyway, it seems like the live stream is up and running.
But you digress.
I digress. Don't I always? It's been a week. Thank you to everyone joining us on the YouTube chat and in the Discord. I've got both of them up. I will try to look at both. I'm not quite as skilled at this as Molly, but I will do my best. Oh, sorry, Sam. No, I'm not Molly, but hi. Sam Dots in the chat. Oh, no,
it's
Molly.
It's all good. It's all good.
It's okay.
It's all good. Okay, so what are you having?
Okay, so I am having a drink called a part-time lover, which I know only because I basically plugged into DuckDuckGo all of the various ingredients I had in my house to see what I could possibly make. And so this is a mix of tequila, vermouth, what else is in here? Triple sec. And then it's supposed to have elderflower liqueur, but I didn't have that. And so I used Aperol instead. And then it tasted kind of funny. And so I added some sort of smoky bitters to it and a little bit of orange blossom water and then a sprig of mint. And now it's tasty.
Wow. That's just a lot of stuff.
It's a whole lot of stuff. It was a lot. My kitchen is a little messy at the moment. But what are you drinking?
Well, hang on a minute. Do you do that a lot, actually sort of adapt your cocktails? Depending
on what for sure, because it depends on what I have in the house. Because I'm not going to go out and buy. I mean, I still have that bottle of, what was that green stuff? Midori from when we did those stock market stomp tails. And I don't really know what to do with it.
So it'll just sit there for 8 or 10 years, and then you'll move, and you'll throw it away. Okay. So two things. Number one, and this is just anecdotal and not at all relevant, but I swung by Ralph's on my local Piggly Wiggly on the way home to get some beer for later this afternoon, and 50% at least of the people in there had no masks on, which was cool and weird all at the same time. It was wild.
How are we feeling about that?
Well, I don't know, and I'm not expecting to resolve that right now. I just thought I would throw it out there because it just made me feel weird. That's all. That's all. I mean, look, I'm vaxxed. Most people in this town are vaxxed, but it was still weird.
I was talking to one of our editors, and they pointed out that we're, like, adults are mostly vaxxed in a lot of places, but the kids still aren't. And with the new variants going around, there are some parents who are, like, rightfully concerned. Like, congrats, you can have your hot vax summer, but I still have children I'm looking out for. So, anyway.
Totally. So that's my one sort of
drinking?
Day in the life.
Oh, you didn't even
hang on. I have to do mine because mine comes with a story. I walked into the office the other day and there was a paper bag, a shopping bag sitting on the receptionist counter, which has, of course, been empty for a year and a half now. With my name on it. So I walked over, I took a look, and there was a six-pack of beer in there with no labels on the bottles, no nothing, and there was a letter inside. And it was from a guy named Joe St. John. He's a home brewer at the Yeastside Brewers Association in Los Angeles. They're having a club competition of IPAs, and he wanted me to taste his, he's calling it a non-fungible IPA. 7% West Coast IPA made with U.S. two-row barley, hops from the Pacific Northwest, San Diego yeast, and L.A. tap water. And I will tell you, so I'm having one, Joe, if you're here, it's quite tasty. It's quite a nice beer. So I just thought I'd give that little local home brewer plug there. There you go.
I love that.
You know,
I love that. Cool. And so is he entering the contest?
I don't know. I should probably follow up with him. I will also tell all those marketplace media producers and engineers who happen to be on the line right now that I'll leave the rest of the beers for you guys on Monday just because, you know, I like to share. Okay.
People on Discord are calling it the custom beer power move.
That's right. Look, the weird thing is every now and then when I mention beer on the radio, on the show, beer shows up like in the mail, like a week and a half later. It's the weirdest thing.
And this is why you need to remove your address from the internet, Kai. Because we've talked about this before.
It's already out there. All right, let's do some news. You go.
Okay. All right. So this is a very Molly-inspired article that I came across today, which is from Texas Monthly. And it is the headline here, and this is coming out in the July issue, Benji is one down dog. And I clicked on it because it was like, oh, a story about a dog. And Texas Monthly has such great writing. I was like, if they're doing a story on a dog, it's going to be good. And then it turns out it happens to be the dog that belongs to that yoga instructor that Molly likes, Yoga with Adrian. It's her dog.
Yeah.
And this whole piece is about like the role that the dog plays in the podcast, in the YouTube series and like how kind it is and how she got the dog. And there's this great bit. Let me scroll all the way back down towards the end where it says, at a time when celebrities are constantly putting their feet in their mouths and as so many did last March, making embarrassing videos of themselves covering John Lennon songs, a star who can't voice his opinion on healthcare, who can't even tweet, has a natural appeal. It's pretty hard to cancel a dog.
There you go. There you go. We don't deserve dogs. We don't deserve
dogs. We do not deserve dogs. Yeah. Dogs are amazing. Yeah. Where are your dogs?
Yeah, they really are. They're inside because it's 89 degrees outside. They're like, I'm not coming out in that shed with no air conditioning and no ventilation. You're out there by yourself, pal.
What's your heart? Are you okay?
Yeah. Oh, I'm fine. Whatever. I sweat a little bit. Okay. So here's mine. I've got one light one, which I'll save, but I do want to hit the serious one first, and that is this. In the last... And look, I live out here and I should have been paying closer attention. But in the last like 10 days, 2 weeks, it's been super clear that we're going to have a very serious drought out west. And I commend to your attention an article in the Wall Street Journal. They have been pieces like this all over the place talking about how bad it's going to be, specifically hydroelectrically. So first of all, the snowpack in the Sierra Nevada, from which California and many other western states get their water, it's gone already. It's gone. It's been gone for a month and a half. It's not there. You do satellite pictures of 10 years ago, there was snow. Now there's no snow. So we're going to be in serious water problem. But the reservoirs that give so much of the Southwest, West and Southwest, their electricity is not going to be happening in the quantities we need it to happen, right? Lake Oroville up in sort of central Northern California is going to be producing no electricity by the end of the summertime, right? Lake Mead behind the Hoover Dam is like 25% below capacity in productive hydroelectricity. So it's going to be really bad. And I mentioned that, as I said on the broadcast this afternoon, because droughts are economic events and it's going to be really serious and it's going to affect agriculture and it's going to affect real estate and livelihoods. And it's just not good. And this is after California came out of a 5-year drought 3 years ago. So we should move. Anyway, that's my news.
I came across an article the other day. I'm going to try to find it and maybe ask Tony to put it in the show notes about the Colorado River and how it's so bad.
It doesn't reach the sea anymore. It doesn't reach the sea.
And it doesn't flow through parts of Mexico where they relied on it. And This is the stuff that, you know, we had dystopian novel recommendations in the newsletter this week. But this is the stuff that is in the dystopian novels, the water shortages and the wars that start over it. And, you know, I spent time in Egypt and somebody on Discord claims that it hasn't reached the sea in 20 plus years. So that was Ryan on Discord.
Totally for sure.
But when I was living in Egypt, they're like, they have been at it with Ethiopia for more than a decade over this giant dam that Ethiopia is building that's going to, I mean,
upstream on the Nile, right? Is that the
dam? Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And it's Ethiopia's like, you know, you built a dam for your hydroelectric needs in Egypt, and we're going to do one for ours, and there's nothing you can do about it. And there isn't, short of conflict, it seems. Yep. And this is going to continue to be an issue. So good luck.
For sure. Yeah, no joke. All right, so that's the really depressing news. Here's the sort of lighter item that I really want to get in there. So last night I'm flipping through Twitter, this and that, blah, blah, blah. And I come upon this tweet thread from a guy named Lee Sanderlin in like the middle of Missouri someplace. He came in last place in his fantasy football league. And under the terms of the deal they made, the last place finisher had to spend 24 hours in a Waffle House. And you got an hour off your sentence for every waffle you ate. And this guy live tweeted his, and Tony's going to put this in the show notes. He live tweeted his experience. And he's like, okay, two waffles down. That's good. That's fine. An hour later, it was like four waffles down. I'm going to throw up. Anyway, it was awesome. It was great. It was lighthearted. It was fun. This dude did it. He got out of there after, let's see, he ate nine waffles, so he gets 9 hours off. So he's down to like 15 hours. Spent the night in a Waffle House. Anyway. So that's my lighter item. It's in the show notes. Tony's going to have it. I just thought it was fun. It was a little slice of Americana. That's all.
It must have been such amazing people watching for 15 hours in a Waffle House.
Can you imagine, right?
Yeah. And I have to say, I love Waffle House waffles. I definitely prefer them to many other places because they're not too thick. Because a lot of times the waffles are like extra thick and it's like you can have one bite and then you're like all full. But Waffle House, you can like slather it in everything and still eat the whole thing. Sorry, that was the inner hungry Kimberly talking.
Well, it's dinner time where you are. It's dinner time.
It is dinner
all right.
time.
Charlton Thorpe, hook us up. Oh, my goodness. All right. All y'all know the drill. Half full, half empty. Marketplace heartthrob Drew Jostedt comes on the phone, on the line, and gives us five topics, I think, about which Kimberly and I will share our opinions. Mr. Jostedt, you're up.
Are you half full or half empty about the truce on Airbus and Boeing subsidies?
Oh, wow. Kimberly?
I mean, half full. It happened. It's like nothing, what's the phrase about nothing is, the enemy of my enemy is my friend or something like
that's
that.
Right.
They're all freaked out about China. And so
nothing could
solve this conflict over all of those years, except, sorry, I guess we should give a little bit of a backstory to this one, which is that for decades and decades, Boeing and Airbus, Boeing being the U.S. major airplane manufacturer, Airbus being a major European manufacturer of airplanes, are constantly competing. They both get different kinds of subsidies from their relative governments. And the U.S. is taking France to the WTO. WTO is taking France to the U.S. back and forth, back and forth. I'm not making sense. But there's all these trade disputes over whose subsidies are unfair when really everybody's getting some kind of subsidy. And now this week, the governments agreed when Biden was over in Europe that they were going to stand down on this fight and basically focus on not letting China take them to lunch or whatever.
Right. That's exactly right. And I think that's the success story out of Biden's trip overseas. Forget the Putin thing, you know, whatever. Getting people to think about China in a different way, I think, you know, I don't even want to go there. That's big. So I'm half full. Half full.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. Are you half full or half empty on CEO bonuses for running businesses ethically?
So this is a story that was on Marketplace this week. Stephen Beard did it out of the UK. Apparently what's happening is there are bonuses being paid to corporate CEOs for running their businesses in an ethical manner. And of course, the theory, the common sense answer is, aren't you supposed to do that anyway, like for a regular paycheck? So while I'm all in favor of running business ethically, I'm not sure that CEOs ought to get extra pay for that. You know? I'm half-half.
I'm going to go half empty on that one because you should be doing that. And also, the bonus structure in general for CEO pay is so convoluted and problematic that I am incredibly skeptical that there will not be some way to game that system, or that the metrics are going to be such that the board is going to override it and continue to pay them whatever anyway. Well,
Right. I don't even know if anybody listening to this. I don't even know if anybody listening to this, or maybe even you can really remembers Enron collapsing and WorldCom and all of that stuff, and then Sarbanes-Oxley, which was going to be, you know, CFOs and CEOs need to sign a document that says we've run this business properly, and you're like, okay, so there aren't going to be any more scandals. Oh wait, yes, there are.
Jeff in the YouTube chat is saying that CEOs should get stocks, period. But I think that is also bad incentive because then they just run up the price regardless of how they're running the company. But yeah, I mean, there's definitely a lot of research actually going on at the moment, and a lot of people thinking hard about like how we compensate the leaders of companies. Okay, what's the next one?
Oh, yeah, totally.
All right, Make Me Smart listener Chris from Philadelphia wants to know if you are half full or half empty on giving aviator glasses as a gift, as the president did.
Okay, so two things. I kind of love input from listeners on the half full, half empty questions. I think that's great. I'm completely full on the aviators thing. I think, it's like Biden's tan suit. I mean, like Obama's tan suit, right? Everybody went batshit crazy, and I'm like, he looks good in the suit. Biden looks good in aviators. Whatever. Give a pair to Putin. Sure. Yeah.
I couldn't help but wonder, like all of the different spy movies you see, like always have something secret and hidden embedded in it. It's like, Putin's never going to wear those glasses. I'm sure that they weren't.
No,
I'm sure they weren't spy glasses. But
Of course not. Absolutely not.
Sure. I'll say half full because, I mean, the exchanging of gifts is, you know, a diplomatic thing that is just a nice gesture. You know, it's sort of like, I'm going to give you this gift while I tell you horrible things about yourself and threaten to disrupt your pipelines.
Yeah. Drew.
All right, Kai. Continue. Two more listeners, Swafford and Brandon from Castle Rock, want to know if you're half full or half empty on the petition for Jeff Bezos not returning to Earth.
I talked about that on the show today. So Bezos is taking a rocket ride in July, suborbital, it has to be said. It's just a little hop up and down, right? He's not even going around the planet. In his new Shepard rocket for his Blue Origin space company, Bezos, his brother Mark, and somebody who paid $28 million are going to have this like half-hour ride, whatever. And there's a petition on change.org that says Jeff Bezos should not be allowed back on planet Earth, which I kind of love. It's ridiculous. It's not at all serious, but it's all in good fun. I'm half full.
I'm going to say half empty because with all these efforts to tax the rich that actually may happen and the
We need him. Is that what you're saying? We need his tax bill.
Yes. And the bipartisan efforts to break up big tech. I think we need him here to kind of observe how all this is going to play out. So I'm going to go half empty.
Fair.
Let's bring him back.
Totally fair. Richest man on the planet? No, I'm sorry. You can't come back. Oh, yes, you can.
Richest man on the planet who's no longer on the planet? No.
I know, right?
So 13,000 signatures for that one. Apparently, there's 8,500 signatures for a petition urging him to buy and eat the Mona Lisa.
But really? People are weird.
I mean, he could.
That's all I got for half full, half empty today.
It's quite the ender. Quite the ender. You sent Kimberly over the edge. Yeah, she swallowed something different. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
No,
so while Kimberly recovers,
a lot in this
I will
drink.
Say this. Orange blossom and hydrangea bushes and who even knows what. We're done for today. Back next week, Monday. I think Molly's here for part of it. Kimberly's here for part of it. I'm just the talent. I'm not quite sure of the schedule. In the meanwhile, send your comments, questions, email, voice memo, you know, take your pick. Make me smart at marketplace.org. Hook us up and... you know, we'll get you on the air, as Drew just did, with two of our powerhouse, three of our powerhouse listeners. So there you go.
Tim from Austin buying saying maybe he can buy and eat an NFT of Mona Lisa. All right.
Oh, Matthew Carroll points out, hang on, wait, Matthew Carroll points out in the YouTube comments, Mona Lisa equals lead paint. That's totally true.
Uh-oh. Right? Uh-oh. Don't want to do that. That's a good point. Yeah. All right, Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Today's program was engineered by Drew Jostad, the heartthrob, boom, boom. Stephen Bione produces, I can't have tequila with y'all. Stephen Bione produces our favorite game, Half Full, Half Empty, and the YouTube live stream. Donna Tam is the senior producer. Maybe I did put too many ingredients in that drink.
You know, it's all good.
I swear I wasn't pre-gaming.
Well, look, I understand. It's like 7 o'clock at night wherever you are at. You know? It's been a long week. Well, it's been a long
cheers,
week.
Cheers, Kai.
For everybody. Cheers, Kimberly. We'll see you next week. Thanks for coming on.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.